You know, as I was thinking of this meeting tonight, and my heart is always with the counselors. I was a head counselor for 4 years, counselor for a lot of years, well, that I can remember, and I always counted it a privilege. But the Lord put a verse on my heart for cottage counselors and village counselors, and it's familiar to you. It's from Colossians 4:17. Paul wrote and said, "Say to Archippus, to take heed to the ministry he received in the Lord, that he fulfill it." Isn't that a wonderful verse? You're receiving a ministry this weekend, and you need to know that by the Holy Spirit, that you're receiving a ministry. And it's a ministry not for Pilgrim Camp, not for the director here or anyone. It's a ministry that the Lord has called you to. You're not just filling a space. I hope there's not one counselor here that feels he's filling a space. You've been given a ministry. And the Apostle Paul said to Archippus, tell him to make sure that he fulfills it. Fulfill that ministry. And the reason this is so strong in my heart is because I had been called to ministry at a very special time. I'll never forget it. I was doing pots. I was 18. And Brother Gordon came in, Reverend Gardner, the first director of the camp, and said that he needed to talk to me after when I was done, which would be probably around midnight. And I went into the... he said, "No, when you're done, meet us in the cottage dining room." And I was trying to think of everything that I had done. What did I do wrong? You know, of course, like I said, if you asked my mother, I was a good boy. So I couldn't think of anything. And I went in there, and lo and behold, there's not only Reverend Gardner, but Sister Caroline sitting at a table. And they, well, sit down here. And they said to me, "Listen, we want to ask you something." And I said, "Yes, I did it." They said, we want to ask you if you'd be interested in counseling in the cottage. Now, they have a group of boys there, six boys, and the ladies that are there are having a little difficulty with them, and we think it might be good to have a male presence there. And why they thought of me, I don't know. I wasn't as obnoxious as I am today. I was quiet. But nonetheless, they said, "Do you feel the Lord would want you there?" That's how they put it. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yes," because I was more afraid of saying no to them, to tell you the truth. But I said, "Yes." And so anyway, make a long story short, I ended up with these six boys in the cottage. Didn't know a whole lot about counseling cottagers. But one thing I did like, they went to bed early. You know? You tuck them in. "Good night." And I had myself, you know, a nice setup with some snacks, a little... In those days, in my sinful days, Pepsi, and you know, and as I got used to the agenda, you know, I thought when the other lady counselors from the other cottage told me this is the agenda, you know, they go to bed at I don't know what time it is. What time is it, Carolyn?
8:30.
Oh, that's too late. That's way too late. And you know, it was there. I said, "Oh, this is." So I remember putting them to bed and saying, "This is going to be a picnic, you know?
Yeah.
Fritos, soda." And I'm sitting down in that little nice little living room they have there, you know, from pots to tops, you know? I should have said from pots to tots. But there I was, and I'm not being facetious about this. I thought, this is great. I can't believe God set me up like this. And then I heard, "Brother Keith, Brother Keith. And I said, I can handle this. And I went up there. And there was a little fellow, a little redheaded fellow by the name of Matthew. And he said, Brother Keith, could I have some water? And I said, I can handle this. I got him some water. Got him back in, told everybody, all the other guys, good night now. One fellow, one wise guy, it's still light out. Never mind that. Shut your eyes and it's dark. And I went downstairs, and then I heard, Brother Keith, okay. All right, guys, that's it. Don't make me come up there. Well, what happened was, the next thing I heard was crying. And I thought, well, let him cry. let the boy cry. And I thought, well, maybe he... But the crying persisted and got louder. Brother Keith! Brother Keith! So I went up there, and I stood in the doorway, and I said, Matt, what's the matter? I'm homesick. I said, Matt, we all get homesick. It's okay. Just close your eyes and think of what all the fun, all that rhetoric that you could come up with. I thought I had gotten this under control. But then he started crying, really crying. And honestly, I'm 18 years old. I didn't know what to do. All I was thinking about was me and what an 18-year-old needs to do. That's to drink Pepsis and eat Fritos. And I said, Matt, it's okay. So then I thought I'd go into the firm. That's enough. That's enough now. Stop crying. It's not going to help. I want to go home. And I'll never forget it to this day. I'll never forget it because God needed to teach this ignoramus a lesson. And I walked over to him, and I got near the bunk, and I said, Matt, you got to stop crying. You don't want to go home. You're going to miss out. He started crying, and next thing I know, I had this child wrapped around me like an octopus, crying. I'm 18 years old, and I suddenly feel a tear coming down my cheek. And I suddenly realized my ministry. I realized what was important. That God had called me, had privileged me for the care and the shepherding of six souls. And I was such an ignoramus that I almost didn't fulfill my ministry. I cried with that kid. And I said, okay, now that's enough. Go back to sleep. I went downstairs, and I had the best cry of my life. And I became a counselor that day. And so I want to say to you, don't lose sight of the ministry the Lord's given you. It doesn't mean you can't have fun or kid with each other. But your whole soul and purpose is that child that you have been privileged to speak with, to be an epistle before. There's so many souls and so many people that are praying and praying for Pilgrim Camp, praying and believing that God will touch lives here. And He does. But He can't go any further. All those prayers can't go any further than you fulfilling your ministry. And so I wanted to encourage you from the lesson that I learned. Of course, you probably heard I was a model counselor after that. No, made my mistakes. But one wonderful thing about the Lord is He reminds us over and over again. And so, gentlemen and ladies, particularly Sarah, serve Jesus with all your heart. The kids will see it. They'll sense the sweet aroma of Christ, and that's so much greater than just a lesson, right, or just a game. They'll sense Jesus in you. May God, by His Holy Spirit, do that. You have a great leader, Brother George. Look to him. Listen to him. Back him up in faith. And Carolyn over there, our heart's with you. Well, we want to have communion. We want to come before the table of the Lord. I just wanted to bring out four things from 1 Peter 1 real quick for you, okay? Peter gets excited about what Christ has done. It's good to get excited about Christ. Like I say, we can't just let the enemy minimize these things because we're familiar with them. And he talks about four things in that first chapter of 1 Peter. And this is what he talks about. He talks about abundant mercy. He's taken up with the abundant mercy of God. And what is that abundant mercy? That we have been born again. We've been given that opportunity, that chance. A new life. It's awesome. But then he goes on through 6 and 7 says, you know, in this new life that he's excited about, is that even trials are glorious because they prove how genuine this faith is. Just look at somebody who's gone through some things. Talk to them. You see how genuine their faith is. He says two other wonderful things there. He says, which excites me, he says the prophets looked into this. They inquired about this. You know, they saw it. If you read Isaiah 53, he says, who's going to believe this report? Excuse me. Who's going to believe this? Who else is the arm of the Lord going to reveal this to? He says, he's going to grow up among us like a plant. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Pardon me. I think that's so amazing that Peter says these prophets wondered how this would go, what God would do. And they inquired, but they realized in their searching that it wasn't for them, but that it was for us. But the last thing that amazes me that Peter talks about in verse 12 there in that chapter, he says, even the angels look into it. Folks, that is such a profound thought, that the angels look into this salvation. I like to share, and I like to think about it, that when we're on the other side of glory, when we're maybe, however that may be, worshiping the Lord, pardon me, that an angel, maybe an angel will come to you or to me and inquire and say, what is it like to be loved so much? Because he never shed one drop of blood for us to redeem us. But he did for you. Oh, that's wonderful love, isn't it? That's amazing love. Thank God for that. Peter's excited about it. We're excited about it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.